Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everyone. It's truly a blessing to be here, thanking the Lord for life, health, and strength for a new day that He has given. I do honor the Lord in all my ways, thanking Him, because without Him, I would be able not to do anything, but with His help and His grace and mercy, I thank Him because of His love and kindness. We go through and we look out for the Lord to see us through. We are going to start tonight, and we're going to give thanks to the Lord for an opportunity that we have here tonight and that He has given us. We have been blessed to another day. He has led and guided us through His Holy Spirit that we may do His will and continue to trust Him. We're going to have our prayer request, and then we're going to move forth. We don't know exactly everything that's going to be talked about tonight, but we are going to put love in everything that we talk about, because we know that God is the reason for everything that we do or say. So we want to be respectful to the Word of God and knowing. We want to continue to pray for one another, each other, our loved ones, our families, our relationships, our work, crew, in management, and within the system. We want to thank God and pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, because just because we are living for the Lord doesn't mean that we're not facing situations in life. We face different things every day, and sometimes it's hard to go through, but we got to keep on trusting and holding on. Excuse me. The main thing is holding on, because the struggles is going to come, and we know that we're going to face things in life that's going to just put us down sometimes to where we feel like we just can't get in touch with the Lord. And we pray, and things don't seem to take place in our lives. But what we don't realize is the Lord is working it out at all times in our lives. He's working it out, and He's taking us through. So we just have to trust Him at His word. We're going to pray for the sick and the needy. We're going to continue to pray for the incarcerated, our militaries. We're going to continue to pray for the caregivers in the homes, the rest homes and around and about. We're going to pray for the people in there, because a lot of things go on that's not said and talked about. But we know who's in charge. Precious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor You and we thank You. We look to You tonight to help us. Holy Spirit, lead and guide us as we do this program tonight. help a soul to say something that may encourage somebody, that may help somebody. Help us, dear God, that we don't put down or take for granted what you have blessed us to do, because it's nothing good that we're doing, but it's through your love and your spirit that you have given us an opportunity to be a spoken mouthpiece for you. And Lord, we honor you in a way that we want to do it right. We ask that you bless all the listeners, all the callers that may call in. We ask, dear God, that you continue to bless our homes, continue to bless our families and loved ones. We ask, Lord, that you will continue to bless our companions. And we ask, Lord, that you will, on this upcoming Father's Day, bless the ones that are fathers and the ones that are dads. Because, Lord, we know that you are able to see us through. And let us, dear God, continue to trust and believe and have hope in Jesus. And whatever you lead us to do, we thank you, Lord. Ask you to bless our ministers, our leaders, and the world leaders and in the church leaders, the home leaders, that, Lord, we will do just what you say, doing by your word and your will. We honor you in a special way, and we thank you for all of your love and your kindness that you continue, dear God, to bless us through and with. Touch somebody out there tonight that may want to give their life to the Lord, that may be going through something in life, not knowing where to turn or where to reach out to. Touch them, dear God, if they need to call in to the program and talk to someone, or to even just get an encouraging word, Lord. We have everything on the program that they need, the email, the phone number. And Lord, just help us to say what's right, to lead and guide them in the right way. We don't know what people are suffering through now, Lord. So much is going on in and around the world, and people just don't do the things that they used to do in life. Take care of one another, to continue to help one another, to continue to be a blessing to one another. So, Lord, we call on you to just continue to help them see what's right and what's wrong in life today. The government and our nation has changed so many ways, and so many laws, the way that people can do things. They're making right right, they're making wrong wrong. They don't care about what the people says, Lord. As long as they have control to make the decisions, that's what they do. And they don't look to you, Lord. They look to man. And we just sit back, dear God, and we don't question these things the way we should. We don't step up and stand out the way we should to these people. Help us to continue to pray for them, because everything is in your hands. Nothing is done, dear God, in the name of Jesus, as you let us know, without you. So, Lord, we ask you to continue to help us. We're going to continue to believe and trust in Jesus as we go forth, because you are the answer for everything. We trust, we believe, and we have hope in Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. give you honor and praise, dear God, to see us through. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Good evening, everyone. We thank God for you. We continue to pray for you. And we're going to continue to do what thus saith the Lord. I know that God is able to see us through anything that we could possibly be going through, because he's done it too many times for me, and he's brought me through too many situations not to believe, not to have hope, not to trust in Jesus. Excuse me. Been bothered with these old allergies and all of this weather and air level and things that's going on around and about haven't been good. But we continue to go through anyway. And we have to just continue to trust, have God give us common sense. When we go out into this air quality, we have to wear a mask to be able to take this mess in and cover ourselves. Well, we're going to talk about tonight a little something. Tomorrow is Father's Day. We want to wish each and every one that may be listening or that may call in, Happy Father's Day. We thank God for you, and we ask the Lord that he will help you go through these situations in life. I have two things here we're going to look at tonight. What is the true meaning of a father? Not every father is a dad. And we're going to find out what the difference is between a dad and a father tonight. And then after we do that, we're going to look into what the Bible lets us know about a true father and a dad. Okay. Here we go. This first one says, the dictionary defines a father as a male parent and a man who is thought of as being like a father. Your father is the male responsible for your conception. However, some people use the word father to describe the male who raised them. This is not always their biblical parent. In modern times, the majority of children will refer to their male parent as dad or daddy. Here is the U.S. Father is still used in many families, but the most popular word for the male parent is dad. It lets us know. Okay, we're going to go here. It says, what is the difference between a father and a dad? Dads and fathers are different. A man can be a father and a dad, just a dad or just a father. If you feel like your brain is getting a bit confused, don't worry. We are here to explain. Okay. It says DNA. A father is a man who took part in your conception Along with your mother, a child will share DNA and genetics with their father. This man, if he chooses to be a part of his child's life and be a present and loving parent, can also be considered as a dad. Dad is a more familiar and affectionate term than father. Although we celebrate Father's Day, not many children are calling their parent, male parent, fathers. Okay, we're going to, I got on my phone. Now, this is going to tell us a little bit more when we look at the situation. Okay. Let's see. Let me find what. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Let me see if this is the one that I want. I got a little something here I want to look at. Okay. Here we go. This is the difference between, it says, our Heavenly Father versus our earthly father. The Bible refers to God as our Father many times. While this title is often used in prayer and teaching, some Christians struggle to perceive God as Father. After all, our concept of fatherhood comes from flawed human parents. How can we think of God as our perfect father if our earthly father fell short? And we have that every day. Our earthly fathers do fall short. God wants us to see him as our father, but we can struggle with this concept for multiple reasons. Whether the issues stems from our own childhood or from misunderstanding, we may not fully understand what God is trying to say. Let's take a closer look at the difference between our heavenly and earthly father. Okay, why the difference is important? Why is it important? It says most of us remember what our dads were or like. However, it's important to remember that our dads are human. Even the best fathers in the world will inevitably mess up, make poor decisions, or not be entirely kind or fair to their families. As Christians, we have to remember that God is perfect and will never make the same mistakes that our earthly fathers did. Keeping the line distinct between our earthly fathers and Heavenly Father helps us view God with the reverence and understanding he truly deserves. You know, we look at this, and the thing is, it says that a man, mostly when they call him a father, he's the one between him and his wife that the child comes from the father. But to be a true dad is the one that's responsible in a child's life to help raise, to help take care of. And this could be not the father that originally is supposed to be the father, because step-parent have taken over the father's job of being a dad within the family, taking care of the family, taking care of the children, teaching the children as they grow up, being a part of their life and everything that they do. A father may be the one to come together with the, together with the mother, and then after it's over with, he's gone. And then someone else steps in place to take the responsibilities that the father should have taken to be a father and a dad. But they become the father and the dad of the child, and it don't have to be your child to do these things, to step in and help raise the children. We look at situations, every father is not a dad. He can tell the children, well, I'm your dad. I'm your father. I'm your dad. At one way or the other. But are you fathering that child in a daddy's way? Or are you just a father because you help the get together with the wife to have the child? You have a responsibility that you have failed to be a part of. But you want to say something when the child does not respond to you as a father or a dad, and he responds to someone else that's took over the role in the relationship. That's the reason why we have so much confusion in the families, because we have many children that are going through things in life, and we don't exactly let them know what the situation at hand is, because one parent has stepped away and did things in the way that he felt he wanted to do, but he's not there for that child. And the child don't look at him as a dad no more. They have feelings toward him sometimes in life. It says right here, at the end of the day, dad is just an infamous name to describe a father. Although, in context, there seems to be a great difference between the two. And right here it says, things you should know. Any male biological parent qualifies as a father. But a dad is the caregiver who raises the child with love, care, and attention. Well, that says a lot. And we just don't know what the situation may be. We have a lot of young men. They tell how many children they got, they brag about, well, that's my son when he's good in sports, he's doing this, he's doing that, and everything. You want to claim that child to be your child, but you're not there in that child's life to do what that child needs you to do. Another man or someone else, as it said, another caregiver steps in to take care of the child. Take care of the child's needs. to teach the child as they get older, to take the child back and forth to practice, to schools, to doctors, to church, wherever it may be. And all you can say is, that's my child, but you're not representing yourself into that child's life. And you know, we have so many men failing at this situation in life, and they complain when they're not respected as a father or as a dad. But whose fault is it? It's not the child's fault. You put yourself in positions, and once it don't work out the way you would like for it to, then you're ready to put the blame on someone else. But we as fathers, dads, stepfathers, stepdad, or whatever it may be, we have a responsibility in the eyes of the Lord and a commitment to the Lord to do something He has given us all to do as men. Some men that call themselves men is still living a boy's life. It's as if they're not grown up to take responsibility, but they call themselves a man. How can you call yourself a man when you have a lack of responsibility in your life? You won't work. You lay back and let the woman take care of you. Then when you don't get what you want, you're complaining to her about it or wanting to beat on her. And she feels that it's love, and she continues to stay and hang with you. For what reason? It's unexplainable. I've never seen anything in that, but there's a lot of men that way. They will take from their companion, take from their girlfriend, and just do them the way they want to, and they still fall back into their arms and say, well, I love them. I can't see the love and disrespect in a man, or call him a man, when he falls in this category. For what reason? It's unexplainable. He can't call himself a man for any reason. But we still have a responsibility, as unto God, to step up, have respect for one another, even if the children, if the man is your father, you still owe him that respect as a father, even though he hasn't been there for you, even though he hasn't done the things that he should do for you. He still deserves the respect of who he is. As bad as it seems and as much as it hurts, we have to respect him, because the word lets us know to honor your father and mother, and we have to show that honor for them anyway. That's what people don't understand. A lot of children is bitter because of it. And they like, well, they didn't do nothing for me. But, you know, the word of God lets us know that we have to look at it in a sense to where it says, it lets us know, honor your mother and father. And we have to. Sometimes you feel like you shouldn't have to, but honor your mother and follow in everything you do, regardless of what may happen. We have a young man on here. I'm going to turn his mic on. And this old computer's been acting up a little bit, trying to get his mic on. If I can get this thing to work. It's been kind of crazy. There we go. I believe we have him on now. And we're going to see if we can get a little bit from him tonight. Good evening, sir.
I had it on mute with what the
okay. Yeah, I was just going to see if you might have had anything you might have wanted to comment on.
Well, so far,
it may help.
What you said, I concur with thus far. And the only thing that I would add is, well, two things. One, we make excuses that we are the way we are because that's the way we saw our dad.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to understand that we have a responsibility
mm-hmm.
in that process as well. You know, we can make decisions. We know what's good and what's bad. We know what's right and what's wrong. But we are all in that name blame game. We don't want to accept responsibility. So we'll blame those who've gone before us. And lots
of
times, those who've gone before us are not here to defend themselves.
That's right.
And as a father, I didn't always do everything right because nobody gave me a lesson in how to be a father or how to be a daddy.
Yeah.
They gave me a lesson in sex, how to procreate, how to make a baby. But when the baby arrives, then that's where the breakdown comes.
Uh-huh.
More the response, and even a church. A church, what do we get out of that? Old Testament
gives the men the interpretation that the church used to give about the women is that the man can do whatever the man wants to do to the woman. And the woman can't do anything but sit there and take it.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I used to have problems with. And then they tell you, you're going to tell the woman she's going to go to hell if she leaves. Because she disrespected her husband, her man. Well, he wasn't a husband. He wasn't a father. He wasn't a daddy. He was just a sperm donor.
Mm-hmm.
And as we break it down, part of it, and this is my take, part of it derives from slavery.
So
now,
true.
Some people are going to disagree with me, and that's their problem. They have to deal with it. The males were used as studs.
Yes, they were.
They had a strong male back then. They made sure that they breed him with a strong lady. And it even could have been his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Because that whole putting the bag over the head and... Which, whenever I first heard that, that was wow. But it rhymes with the fact that we used to say that growing up when I was a kid. Well, I was a teenager. Well, we put a bag over our head and we won't even know. So
that's right.
That was demeaning the woman. So society never really had a positive image of the female. And now these boys, and I'm calling them boys, that's who they are,
mm-hmm.
and these so-called rappers, they call women bees and all that.
They do.
And they don't understand that they, what they're saying, they're calling their mama that.
And the women
they're calling
are
their sisters and their aunt, their grandparents, their grandma.
That's right.
And, but society is making money off of that, and that's okay for society because society has destroyed the family anyway,
the
minority family. So that's just sort of my take on it. I'm not making excuses for the men, for us men.
No.
I'm just laying some facts out that people can take a look at. And
not only that,
either way
we look at it, we do have that responsibility as the man. I had one young tell me, he told me, he said, I'm not going to be no good because he stayed in trouble a lot. And he said the reason why he stayed in trouble so much, said because he wasn't going to be no good because his father was no good. And it just rubbed off on him. And he blamed his father for him not being able to be successful in his life. And I told him, I said, we all accountable for the things that we do. You can't blame your father for your life when you can make a change yourself in life. You can't because of him. I told him, I said, you would think that you would want to do better than your father did to be able to see that you don't have to live that same life. He said, no. He said, I'm just not going to be no good because he wasn't. It was just like he wanted to live that lifestyle. No matter he just wanted that lifestyle to have somebody to blame when things messed up on him. And, you know, I just had to let it go and let him know, well, I love you, man. I'm praying for you. And move on. Because you can talk. You can talk to some people, like they used to say, until you're blue in the face or whatever.
Face.
If they don't take it to heart, there's no more that you can do. But just move on to the next person that may be waiting to hear some kind of advice or encouragement that may take a hold to it. So it doesn't mean that we have to stop at that one, because every one of them young guys, they need help. And if you give them help, they don't want to accept the help. And there's nothing that we can do past that point. Once we give them what we give them, whatever the will is of God in their life, we have let them know God has a purpose and a plan for you in your life. If you don't want to receive it, that's up to you. I got to receive what he's got for me and make the best of what he has for me in life and live by his will and word. I can't put myself down because of what my dad may have did that wasn't so right or anything like that. I have to look at life because it's for me. Dad can't die from salvation or share salvation for me. He had to work out his own salvation.
Oh,
I have to work out my own. It's not what we follow one another for. We have our own. We are our own free agent. Lord opened up for us through grace, through his son, Jesus Christ, and let us have an opportunity to make the choices for ourselves. But so many continues to play the blame game. Once you get of age, you should be able to see better and understand that you don't have to do and live the things that you're living. God gives us common sense, and some people don't use the common sense that they have to do anything. It's all about with it, and then you got most of these women out there crying. Well, I love them. He beat them around, smack them around, and everything. Well, I love him. I just love him. You know, I can't do without him. He taking everything you got. That's just like a lady that I work with at where I work at part time. She came in 2 weeks ago, crying and everything, and went to the boss lady and was talking to her and some of the girls, and they said later on, said she was crying because her husband, well, they said her boyfriend said she wasn't married. I really don't know for sure myself because she said she's married. He took all of her money when she got paid out of her pocketbook and told her he was taking the money because she shopped too much. Told her, said, you shop too much, and then he said he was jealous. He was going to make her quit the job because he was jealous of her. And I told him, I said, you know, I supported that. I can understand the things that happens in life. I said, but what I don't understand, y'all saying that he's jealous of her being around anybody. I said, but her very first day at work, I'm usually the first one in the parking lot at 4 o'clock, close to 4 o'clock in the morning when I have to work my 3 days. Her husband comes around. I'm sitting in the car. He drops her off because he worked at a different place so she could come in for her first day. Any jealous man is not going to drop his wife or girlfriend off with a black man sitting out in the parking lot, and he's going to leave and go on.
That's right.
I said, he can't be too jealous because he left her out there in the parking lot. And I told my wife, I said, I didn't offer to sit in my car. I said, I got out and I talked to her, told her about the job and things like that. And wasn't long that the boss lady came up to come in and everything. And I told her, I said, but, you know, I said, they say things and they turn things around and make things look as if it's a whole lot more than what it was. Now she's out of a job because she don't show up for work crying about what he's doing to her. But the thing is, you got to accept responsibility for yourself. You got to let a person know this is not the life that we chose to be in a relationship with, and get it worked out. Go to the Lord, pray about it. She said she was a woman that liked to pray, but yet still, when you're not standing up to what God has given you to, and, you know, I'm not one that's been judgmental, you'll go through what you see. The Bible says we can be a food inspector. Now, if I see something and it's not growing any food anywhere and everything around it is negative, well, there's a reason behind it. You're not trusting and doing what you're supposed to do. Because if you get your heart and souls and mind in the right place, things will work out for the better. And I hear her say, well, my family was Christians. They was this. You can't live off of your family being a Christian, and that doesn't make you one, because your family may live in Christ, Christ in them. Doesn't mean that you are the same if you haven't opened your eyes and looked and repented and invite Christ into your life. You're still out there as worldly. And I said, Lord, I said, these people do not want to take responsibility. I've seen more young ladies lately crying because they say they love the boyfriend that they're with so much, but the boyfriend doesn't work. The boyfriend doesn't have a car, but yet still they're taking care of them. And they want to call themselves, I'm a man. Throw their chest out, I'm a man. No, you might be in a man's body, but you live in a boy's life. You haven't grown up to take care of responsibility. And I said, Lord, I said, we have to as men, you know, like I said, Father's Day is coming up. There's a lot of fathers out there, and there's a lot of dads out there that took over responsibilities from some of the ones that call themselves fathers, that began to take care of, support their children and everything, but yet still they want the respect that they deserve as a father. But we have to respect them as fathers because the children, the Bible lets them know that they have to respect their father anyway. He's still your father, no matter what. You might not like the ways, you might not like the situations, you may not like being around them. But when you come in contact, you're supposed to honor and give them that respect because the Bible lets us know. We have to show that love anyway. And sometimes it's hard for a child when a father has turned away from them, and especially a daughter. You look at a daughter and she's close to her dad. And that's daddy's little girl. And the father turns away from them. It can scar that girl for life. I got two nieces. And their dad, he don't come around them. He don't do anything with them. He don't support them. And when they was little, he was in their life 24/7. And they got to the point that they got teenagers, he started shying away. And they would call him when he was with his other girlfriend. And he told them one day, he said, "Girls, y'all going to have to stop calling me so much." Because the woman he was with told him that they didn't need to call the house so much. Well, it hurt them girls to the point to the day he wants them to call them. He tries to call them and talk to them. And they say, "Well, we're not worried about him now. You know, he never was there for us when we needed him." And I had to tell him, you have to still love him and respect him. But the thing is, there's no more that you can do past that because of the feeling that they have of the way that they've been done. So, you know, there's a lot of things that children are going through that we don't know about. A lot of things that they face day in and day out along with these things in the back of their mind that we don't know about. Hard to reach them. It's like you said the other day, what do we tell our children? And my thing was, when you said that, I didn't think about it until we got close to the end of the show and we was talking about different things. And it hit me. In the beginning, God. It didn't say in the beginning, man. It said in the beginning, God. But there's a lot of people look at it, man. It's all about what man does. It's all about what man changes. It's all about what man says. Man can do this. Man can do that. They don't put God in nothing, nowhere. They feel like it's all about what man says, and they leave God out. But the Bible never said in the beginning man. So people have to get their priorities right. And that's what we have to tell our children. In the beginning, don't worry about these men and women. In the beginning was God. Go to him. Think about God. Learn more about what God done for you than what that man's doing or have ever done for you. And if they can turn around and get their focus there, it can change their whole life for the better. And that's the only thing I could think about as we talked about it in the show and you called me and was telling me that. What do we tell our children? I couldn't think of a whole lot that we should, but I do know one thing. We have to be honest and tell them the truth. And
that's right.
The truth started out with those words in the beginning of God. And there's no lie in that. That is the beginning. And we all know that love and trust can live a godly life. That's what it's all about. So every man, woman, boy, or girl, this is where it starts at. For anything that they ever want to know, this is where it starts at. And it can change anybody's life because it changed mine. A lot of things I did that wasn't right, a lot of places I went that I shouldn't have went, and a lot of situations that I about got messed up from and wouldn't be here today. But God, he brought me through it all. He brought me through it all only for such a time as this that I can be here to tell someone else about it. Because there was many situations I shouldn't have never made it out of. I was sitting in front of a crack house when it got busted. Years back when I was a young man, went out of town with some of my friends, went to the guys, and they went to the crack house. We sitting in the front door, and the police drives up, two or three police cars, some behind us, some in front of us, never looked at us. Got out of the car, the police messed around, and they come in, and they got ready to go through the front door, but for some odd reason, they went around the side of the house to go in the back door. The guy that we was riding with, he come out the front door. We sitting there nervous because we in a place we had never been, thinking we were going to jail, and ain't no telling how long we would have had to spend. He comes out, goes around the side of the house, use the bathroom, come back, gets in the car. Soon as he shuts the door and crank up and get ready to pull off, the police come back around the house. How they missed it, I don't know. It was all God. He gets in the car, we pull off. They go in the house from the front door. By the time we get to the other side of town, we get a call that that house just got busted, and they raided everybody in there and took them to jail. Well, you know, you look at that situation, you feel like there's no way out of it. There's no way out. Yeah, you are in front of a crack house and you don't get busted and everybody in the house get busted. I said, Lord, I didn't think about it then, but as I think about the situations over the years, how the Lord protected me and brought me through situations in life that I could have been dead and gone, or I could have still been serving time in prison as a black man. Because back then, in the 80s, if they had caught me at a crack house, I probably would still be serving time. You know, we just don't know what people has went through and what they've had to go through for situations and things to change in their life. That's why when we talk to these young men, they slanging and dealing and doing everything they're doing now. They're doing things already been through, done, and over with. And you try to tell them something, and they think they know more than you do. The Bible lets us know there's nothing new under the sun. So what make you feel that what you're doing is any different than what I was doing back then? Only this thing about that's now, right. They're more on it. They're more on it now than they was then. Because all they did was bust you and then put you back on the street to make a little bit more money where they could get more money from you, bust you again, then sell you the same drug that you messed around and got busted with to put back out on the street. You know, that's the way it went. And they're still doing it. They're still doing the same thing, and they're not realizing and seeing that this is what it's all about. To keep you down as a young black male, and you feel that you have to disrespect the life that God has given you and take for granted that you're better than life itself, some of them. They walk around with their new tennis shoes and their heads up. Look what my girl got for me. Your girl's crying and struggling because she loves you and you're treating her like a dog. We have to get ourselves together. And don't mean we give up on our young men, even our young women. But there's better things in life than what they're doing now. And the best thing ever that you could do is accept Christ into your life and live throughout eternity. Open your hearts up and ask the Lord to forgive them. Ask the Lord to let them live a new life with him leading and guiding them through the Spirit of the Lord to see them through and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Because I did, and I'll tell you the truth, from what I used to be out into the world, it made a big difference in my life. I've been a changed man, and I thank God for it, because he has done it, and he continues to do it. So we can't play that role and say, well, if it hadn't have been for my dad, I would be doing this. If it wasn't for him, I would have been here. Maybe so. But it's up to you. Life is all up to us. We never know what we're going to face in life. Praise the Lord, brother. I run my mouth so much here. Shalom, I run my mouth so much and everything about this. But yes, sir, we've still got a few minutes here.
I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to. I was on, I was off, got another call.
Yeah.
But I came right back, yeah. Talking
about Father's Day and the things that, you know, we face and things in life.
Mm-hmm.
But still, every father still deserves that respect and that honor, regardless to the situation that surround them. They still
deserve it. My position on that is, you know, I left my family, hadn't been married that long. Kids were real young. I left them and just went on and did what I felt like I wanted to do. You know, no responsibility. I ain't got to answer to nobody. But I wasn't serving God. But after a while, it was like, you know, I thought everything was okay. I could go on my way and do whatever I want. I called myself going to go to South America. Thank God I did. But these were my thoughts, you know. The Lord, he got to me in New York City. I got saved in New York, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Everything should be going to do what I want to do. But, you know, hey, God's plan is God's plan. It ain't got nothing to do with us and what we plan to do.
That's right.
And what we have on our minds, you know. So he put us back together. It's hard for the kids because, you know, have the little animosity because all you left us as kids, you know, we had it hard and this and that and whatever else, you know. And I told him, I said, you know, I just got caught up. And I thought about me. It was all about me. But I asked him to forgive me. And I told him, I said, I law said you don't have to do nothing. You don't have to do none of that stuff. Just do the best in your life, serve God, and you'll be okay. You know, and things they're getting better. It takes a little time to get better.
And see, that's what it takes,
back,
you know.
The problem.
The way you came back into the relationship and the things that you let them know.
Yes, sir.
You know, you go through situations, but God had a plan.
Yeah.
God had a plan, and he's still working in that situation. He had a plan that y'all was going to get back together. He got a plan that everything's going to work out within the kids' life as everything goes along. Everything has a set point in time on watch because
that's
God don't have the time. Within his time. And all we have to do is continue to show the love, continue to trust in the Lord, have the hope that we have in Christ, and everything will start to open up better and better and better, and God will yeah. see you through, whatever it mm-hmm. may be. Things can be hard sometimes, but mm-hmm. God, mm-hmm. but God.
Yeah.
Like I said mm-hmm. earlier, the Bible didn't say in the beginning man. It said mm-hmm. in the beginning no. God. So that's where that's right. everything starts, in the beginning mm-hmm. God. And that means mm-hmm. everything is in God's hands. Because with him being in the beginning, that's where everything started.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
like I was telling the bishop earlier, everybody look at mm-hmm. man, but you can't look at man.
Mm-mm.
Man is just here to do what man does. Without God in man's life, he can't do anything.
What?
He can't do anything without God in his life. So that's the reason the Bible lets us know in the beginning God, we have to reference mm-hmm. God in a way to know that he is the source over all of our lives. Then he sent his son, the main source that we'll ever have to give us an opportunity at eternal life. If mm-hmm. we're living to live again, we're running this race for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, even the kids, they'll come in and God will open up their hearts to whereas they'll be able to share in a part of the salvation of the Lord. And that's what all parents want for their children, to come in and share the salvation, and God can open up a door like no man can shut.
That's right.
Man may think he can shut it. Man will try to get in the way of a door being opened for you. But God won't let him get in the way. God will move that man out of the way. When he opens the door, no man will shut it. When he closes the door, no man will open it.
Uh-huh.
So that's where our hope is. And trust.
Yes, sir.
So we're praying for each other every day.
That's right.
We're going to continue to pray for each other every day. The Bible lets us know we have to pray for our brothers and sisters as well as everybody else. Sometimes we get caught up in everybody else and everything. But we forget about our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right.
We need prayer, too.
Yes, we
just
do.
Just like our leaders. They need prayer. Just because we're children of God don't mean that we don't need prayer. We forget about these things sometimes. But the Bible lets us know we have to continue to pray one for another.
Yes, sir.
Regardless of the situation, he is in control of whatever we do.
That's right. And we can't hold nothing against nobody. You know, what's going on. We have to pray for them like we pray for anybody else.
We have to pray for them. We have to. Mm-hmm. It don't mean that we're going to forget it. We just have to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to let it go to the point, put it in God's hands, because every time we face the person, we're going to have the thought.
That's
something that we're not able to get away from, but we don't have to have the envy behind that thought. Because God has given us a loving heart. He's given us a loving heart that we can love but don't have to deal with that situation. We can go ahead and walk away from it and trust him to help us through it.
Hey, brother.
That's about the size of it. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Doing good, and you?
What are you doing,
baby? Huh. Your voice.
We just going on. God be the glory. We're going to go ahead and shut down. Doing good, and you?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Me too. Thank you. Happy Father's Day to the brother.
Yes,
ma'am.
Sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Happy Father's Day to the brother here. That's what we're talking about, these father things.
Yes, sir.
Without God in them, what can we do?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What can we do? With God in them, we can do a lot.
We can do all
things
through
Christ. We're going to believe and we're going to continue to pray for one another. Love one another and just do what we can to be able to be there for one another.
That's how it works. Yes, sir. The love of Christ.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we have that, everything will be all right. Even at sad times, we'll still have happiness and joy deep down inside.
That's right. That inner joy.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
Christ makes the difference for all of that.
Yes, he does, bro. Yes, he does.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, bro, we're going to go ahead and end everything. Shalom. Love you guys.
Okay.
Lord's will. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning.
Yes, sir.
And keep on trusting and believing and praying for one another.
Yes, sir. God's peace to you. Shalom, bro.
That's
shalom.
Right. Shalom.
Mm-hmm.